worship you. Your word reminds us of your holiness. We pray that you might teach us what it is to be holy in these days. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sit down, everyone. Now, the Rugby World Cup is coming to a climax. We're in the middle of the second semi-final, or coming to the end of the second semi-final, which we can't talk about. We can't inform you of any details of that. But we know the teams that are playing. We can identify them because they wear certain colours, don't they? They wear a kind of certain shirt or have a certain badge on their clothing. That's how we know them. So, for example, the New Zealand team are known as the All Blacks. That's how we know who they are. So every sporting team has a colour, has a way of being identified. So we thought we'd do a little bit of a quiz to see how knowledgeable you are as sports fans this morning. So I have seven different kind of symbols, badges, to try and identify this morning. And what I'd like you to do is a piece of paper and some pens on your table. I'd like you to kind of try and work out what these are, all right, and write them down 1 to 7. All right? Okay, is that clear as mud? Okay, so here's the first one. Now, some of them are easy, some of them are slightly more difficult, okay? And there are no prizes for winning this. So here's the first one coming up. Shout it out a bit louder if you're... No, don't shout it out. You let the others know. This is preparation for the quiz on Friday night. Everyone clear? Yeah. All right, second one, please. Here's a clue. We put this one on because I thought someone who is not here might be here this morning and they would get it. That's the clue. Okay, we're going to move on. Number three. I should say, it'd be also helpful if you could identify the sport that it's attached to as well. That would be quite good. Okay. Number four. Now, you do have to identify the sport with this one. Okay, that's the key with this one. What sport is this attached to? Okay, number five. I think this one's quite hard. There are three letters in there that might help you. If you can work out what the three letters are. I'm going to take us through, we can run through them quickly again. Number six. I think this one's quite easy. You can, by the powers of deduction, you should be able to work out who this might be and what it might be. Okay, number seven. Shall I give you another clue? Okay, we'll give you another clue. Here's the other clue. And if you can come up with the sports that's attached to it as well. Now, we'll come round and see if anyone's got the answer. So, we'll go to number one, Miller. Okay, so this is Ferrari, and the sport is Formula One, okay? Did every table get that? Okay, anyone willing to admit they didn't get that? Oh, I'm worried now that if you didn't get that one. Okay, anyone want to give this a go? All Stars, no. Baseball, no. Anyone get it? No, okay. Aha. Okay, we're going to, all right, let's see, we've got two. Sorry?
It was Converse Trainer.
Converse Trainers. It could be that, it is that symbol, yes, but that's not.
No, we've got, yeah, we said same.
Converse, yeah, it's not that. We're trying not to market. I know Ineos was in there. We're trying not to market anyone during the service. We don't get sponsored. I mean, it's an idea. We could get sponsored by big business, couldn't we? So we just put the answer up for this. So I put this one in deliberately because I kind of hope the Turners might be here, but they're not here. They would have got it. So, okay, so it's American football, all right? So you've learned something. I mean, you might go away not having learned from the Bible this morning. You might forget what we teach from the Bible, but you at least know what Dallas Cowboys symbol is, okay? Number three, go and get this.
Liverpool FC.
Liverpool FC is correct. Who got that? Which tables managed to get that? Okay, brilliant. Next one. Now, it's a sport more than anything. Do you know what this is? Cycling, that's right. Okay, how many got this? Quite a few, great. Next one. I'm going to take you, Douglas, because you've just given one. Barcelona Football Club is incorrect. But it was a good try. It was a good try. Anyone else? Anyone else want to have a stab at who this is? I thought this was the most difficult of them.
We actually thought it could have been one of two, but we might be wrong anyway. But our first choice was Bolton. Football club?
No.
Try Bristol.
Bristol is absolutely wrong. So I'm going to go to Jeremy because I heard Jeremy just quietly give an answer. So Jeremy, tell us who this is.
Barbarians.
And the sport is?
Rugby Union.
That's right. We are not worthy, Jeremy, that you got that right. We are not worthy. That's brilliant. So Jeremy's table got it. Did anyone else get it and was just too shy to say?
What's it stand for?
BFC. Uh-huh. Rugby Football Club. Barbarians.
Barbarians.
So there's a B in there and an F and a C.
So just Barbarians Football Club.
Barbarians. It's an invitational team that draws people from all over the There isn't one. It's football. Rugby's claiming to be a football club. Rugby football. Okay. What a debate we could have about that. I love this service because I run out of energy about 10 minutes in. Okay, next one. Okay. This should be the simplest one. Anybody who's not answered? Okay. I saw Ken's hand first, so I'm going to go over here.
Barbados.
Right lines.
West Indies.
West Indies is right. The West Indies cricket team. Okay. Yay! Did you get one? Yay! Hopefully, did everyone get that one? I mean, it's fairly. I mean, Ken, you were in the right, you know, part of the world, the Caribbean. Okay. Well done. Next one. Now. If you just had that, it was probably quite hard. If you had the next slide, it was made a little bit easier. Anyone get this? Anyone? Phil, it's like you're doing jazz hands. Okay, let's see.
Is it Boston Cubs?
No. The clue is in the C. Okay. Chicago Cubs is right. Chicago Cubs. You got it together. It's beautiful. Which is, and the sport is? Chicago Cubs play baseball. All right. Who else got that? Anyone get that? Did you get it? You did. Brilliant. Okay. So we're trying to make that as difficult as possible. Some of them are really, really hard. Put in a little bit of American sport in there for some of our American members who are not here. But trying to be inclusive. Now, badges, identifiers, are really important, aren't they? Wouldn't we agree? It's important to know who people are and where people come from. It's important to have your identity. And what we're thinking about this morning is, what is our identity? What does it look like for us? What would be God's calling on us? What would be our team badge if God gave to his people a badge to wear? You know, if you join a team, you have to wear the team uniform, the team shirt, so that everyone knows that you belong to that team. So when God led the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt and through the desert until they reached the Mount of Sinai, God gave them an identity. He told his team on earth what they should be known for, how they should be identified. I wonder what team shirt God asked his people to wear so that people would know that they belonged to him. So our memory verse this morning will help us know what our team shirt should be like. So to do this, to help us with the memory verse, I need 6 volunteers to come and join me. So if 6 people could come quickly and join me, that would be really great. What I'd like you to do is, I'm going to give you this to wear, and I want you to turn your back, all right, in order to put this on. And we're going to start over here with this one. These are all extra large, so if you turn your back to put it on so that people can't see it, all right?
This isn't really my style.
It's not your style?
No.
I'm sorry about that. I'm really sorry about that. I should have done more consultation about what colour and what. So what's your preferred style, Peter? What would you like to be wearing? Is it a
red
t-shirt? Okay, I'll remember that for next time. Okay. Goodness, this is such an easy church to work with. And these are, as I say, these are all extra large, so they should fit everyone. They'll look quite big on some of you. And if you could turn around first. Okay, be holy, because I am holy. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45. Do you know, it might not be your style, Peter, but I think these t-shirts suit you all brilliantly. It's a brilliant modeling act. So, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to say this together. If everyone can see it, we're going to say these words. These are the words that God spoke to his people so that they would know who they were, who they were called and meant to be. So we say together, be holy because I am holy. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45. We'll do it one more time. Be holy because I am holy. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45. Now, the trouble is, what does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to be holy? I thought we'd try and find the holiest person in the church this morning. And as I thought about that, that proved to be quite difficult to work out who the holiest person might be. And then I twigged Bishop Andy's with us. So it became obvious. So I thought we'd just ask Andy. He will know what it is to be. So Andy, if you come up and join us. We're working hard this morning. And Andy and Mandy are actually on their way to the Isle of Harris to go and visit the congregation out there. So this is just a brief stop. So Andy, this isn't meant to put you on the spot, really. It's just a quick thought, really. What does it mean? What would it look like to be holy?
Well, often when I visit a church, people ask what they should be praying for, and I usually ask prayer for holiness. And what that looks like, a lot of different dimensions, but that I would be a good husband to Mandy, a good son, as it was to my mum, and a good father to my children. So that would be an immediate answer. But it is to be like the one who has bought us out of slavery.
Mm. Okay, that's great. Thank you. Great answer. Well done. I can see why you're a bishop. I think that's right. It's kind of our holiness is seen, is created by God, actually. God gives us holiness. It's not something that we necessarily generate ourselves. But what it means, the translation of the word holy, to be holy, means to be set aside for a relationship with God. You see, we're, none of us here is, are religious, are we? I mean, God doesn't really like religion because it's all about us trying to scramble our way up to God and doing the right thing and, you know, climbing up a ladder to get to God. That's not what it's meant to be about. It's about being set aside to be in a relationship with God. And because God loves us, we are somehow, in the power of the Holy Spirit, able to be more and more like him. So in Exodus chapter 20, when God was kind of giving the people their identity, what it would look like for them to be holy, it kind of went like this. This is how it went. We're going to watch a video together to kind of help us understand what it means to be holy.
The first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. Look at the runner. He's coming in first. He's number one. The first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. That means God should be number one in your life. The second commandment is, you shall not make yourself any graven image. That is, don't bow down to anything but God. Look at that man. He's bowing down to an idol in the shape of a number two. The second commandment is, you shall not make yourself any graven image. Don't bow down to anything but God. The third commandment is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Don't use your lips to dishonor God. Look at those big red lips. They're dishonoring God, and they're in the shape of the number three. The third commandment is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Don't neglect the things of God. Look at that boy. He watches TV all the time and never gives special time to God. And he's inside the number four, reminding us that the fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The fifth commandment is, honor your father and your mother. Look at mum and dad. Oh, they've shaped themselves into the number five, reminding us that the fifth commandment, number five, is honor your father and your mother. Uh-oh, look at that bomb. It could kill someone. And it's in the shape of the number six, reminding us the sixth commandment is you shall not kill. The seventh commandment is you shall not commit adultery. Adultery leaves a heart broken. Always be faithful to the one you marry. Look at that heart. Inside it is the number seven, and it's broken, reminding us that the seventh commandment is, you shall not commit adultery. The eighth commandment is, you shall not steal. Look at this burglar, this thief. He's trying to steal something. His mask is in the shape of a number eight, reminding us the eighth commandment is, you shall not steal. The ninth commandment is, you shall not lie. That means we should always speak the truth. Look at that nine. He's lying in bed. He's a lying nine, reminding us that the ninth commandment is, you shall not lie. The tenth commandment is, you shall not covet. We shouldn't want what others have. We shouldn't be greedy. Look at that greedy man looking through the doorway at the diamond ring. The doorway and the ring are in the shape of the number 10, reminding us that the 10th commandment is, you shall not covet.
So the commandments are all signs that people belong to God. They don't belong to themselves, they belong to him. That's a sign of holiness, that we belong to God. So I was thinking about this a little bit. What would it look like for us in 21st century Edinburgh to give a sign to the world that we belong to God? What would it look like? Now, the way we're going to look at this is we'll get to discuss around our tables. We've done very well at talking at our tables this morning. So what would it look like for us to show people who are not Christians, who aren't believers, that we belong to God? What would it look like? So just a few minutes to think about this, come up with some things, and then I need someone to be a scribbler who's got fairly nice handwriting to write on the board, and we're going to just write them up as we talk about them. So, okay, so we've got 4 or 5 minutes to talk about this. Just brainstorm. What does it look like for us to be holy, to be set apart for God? Now, I need a bit of help with this. Who can write reasonably nicely in big letters, anyone? We'll take whoever volunteers something. What would it look like for us to be set apart, to be holy, to show God to people? What would it look like for us in today's world? Anyone? Okay, that's not worked terribly well, has it? Okay, well, Eleanor.
To treat people as Jesus would treat them. That would be with compassion and care.
Okay.
But the people need to know we're Christians, and that's the reason we're like that.
Okay. What's a short way of putting that?
That was a short
loving
way.
People?
Loving people and telling them that we're loving them in the name of Jesus. Really.
Okay. Loving in the name of Jesus. Okay. Mike?
Just suggested thought, word, and deed.
Thought, word, and deed. Okay, so how we think, how we live, and how we speak.
Friendly.
Being friendly. Okay, we can do that. Anyone else?
Putting others
first. Verity?
Putting others first.
Putting others first. It's like being married, you know, when we do that all the time with our married partners, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Who was over here? Bishop Andy is going to share further knowledge. We're very privileged.
We were thinking of the ways in which we would be different from perhaps others. So being real rather than wearing a mask or pretending that all things are going well. Warm hospitality versus actually we're not really that friendly, which has been mentioned. And then we were thinking of the Fringe Festival. And thinking that actually, what's the difference between the Christian comedians and others? And certainly, the humour is very different.
So. Okay, that's great. So being different is something in there, Phil. So I'm just coming to your table, and not, you know, I just assumed that someone would say something.
Contentment, particularly in a world where people are very rarely content with what they have.
Okay, that's useful. Thank you.
Reflecting God's character.
Reflecting God's character. Do you want to expand on that? Anything in particular?
Yes, trying to reflect God's character to the outside world with all the different attributes he shows. Based on God's love to us and his forgiveness and us accepting his forgiveness.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. Hilary, did you have something?
Well, Sally knows all the fruits of the Spirit, and she's listed them down.
Well, you better read them then. If she knows them, they better read them. Sally, I'm going to get you to read it.
No, you are not.
Hilary, you need to do it then.
What's this wrong? I'll get the blame.
It's all right. Love, we'll correct you.
Right. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, thankfulness, thoughtfulness, self-control. But it's how you then let people know why you're doing these things.
Yep.
That it's not just that you're a good person.
Well, you pray. I always pray that people will ask me about Jesus, and you know, I often find that people will do that. You know, if you try and live a godly life, a holy life, then people, you know, the opportunities come. So that's helpful. Thank you, Julie. So lots of things here. What does it mean to be holy as God is holy, reflecting his character, loving in the name of Jesus, in thought, word, and deed, fruits of the Spirit, friendly, putting others first, being real, warmly hospitable, being content. And God's people have kind of always known this. You know, they've kind of learned that that's what we're meant to be different. You know, we're meant to live in a way that is holy. The trouble is often we forget. You know, we forget what it is to follow God. We forget what it is to be like him. The Israelites often forgot who they belonged to, and they failed to keep the Ten Commandments, which was not a good situation to be in. The God who said, "Be holy as I am holy," Leviticus chapter 11, verse, just checking, you see, I thought you would leap in there, still loved them and still wanted them to know what it meant for them to be holy. He didn't give up on his people, even though they got it wrong and they failed to be holy as he was holy. And we all do that every day, don't we? Do you ever feel that, oh, I'm just having a bad day today? I've shouted too much, or I've not done the things that I know God would want me to do, or I've thought the thoughts that are not helpful about other people. But God doesn't give up on us. He doesn't give up on his people. One day God spoke through a prophet. His name was Jeremiah. And he said that a day was coming when he would make a new agreement with people. He would call people to belong to him. And instead of writing his commands on tablets of stone, he would write them on people's hearts. So when people received the Ten Commandments, they had them on tablets of stone. But now we know through the power of the Holy Spirit how it is that God wants us to live. And so when we're feeling maybe we got it wrong, that's a sign often that the Holy Spirit is at work in us. It's actually a positive thing because we say, yeah, God, I see that now. I see that I screwed up today, but help me to live as you would want me to live. Belonging to God still means living differently from those living around us and keeping God's commands. Jesus was once asked, what is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment? It was a kind of, they were trying to catch him out, the people that were asking the question. They were trying to trip him up when they asked the question. And he because he's God, very cleverly gave this answer. He said, Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like, namely, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And so we kind of hit on that a little bit, didn't we? In the answers that we gave, love God and love your neighbors. So we're going to sing. And as we sing, we're going to prepare to do something as a bit of a response today to what God might be saying to us. And it's to ask ourselves, what do I need to do this week to show God's holiness at work in me? To show his love at work in me? I love God today, but how can I love my neighbor? So you all have got a card, which are on the table, if everyone can take one. And I'd like you to do, it's got the memory verse on it, plus a verse from 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'd like you to take this away. We'd like you to take this away. Write a name on it and what you might do this week to show God's holiness, God's love, that you've been set apart for him. And if you could write...